Adulterer's Wife is a book by C.J. Grace, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not, it says. And in the book, C.J. Grace says, I've endeavoured to take as pragmatic an approach as possible on how to deal with adultery, rather than playing the blame game. The aim has been to provide some useful tools for wives with unfaithful husbands, so that these women can truly thrive rather than be crushed by the experience, whether or not they choose to stay in the marriage. C.J. Grace is on the line. How are you doing, C.J.?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. I suppose before we start, we better get, you know, what qualifies you to write this book.
Well, it is something I've been through. And when I was dealing with infidelity in my own marriage, I was talking to a lot of other women. And I realized that my situation was actually a walk in the park compared to what some other women have to go through when they find out that their husband is seeing another woman. And what I wanted to do was to find a way to get through that tsunami of emotional negativity that you experience when this happens, and actually use it as, in effect, a shock to trigger some kind of transformation in your life so that you end up happier than you were before the infidelity actually happened, either with or without your partner.
Did you stay or did you go?
Currently, I'm separated, so I'm in the middle at the moment. But I made sure that I no longer had my husband be the center of my universe. I think that's one of the important things to do, because it's so easy to be mired in household, looking after children, maybe there's a family business, all of that kind of stuff, and you don't really take care of yourself. And actually, you become a very boring, unattractive person in that situation, which invites the husband in some cases to wander. Not that I'm going to be blaming a woman or blaming the man. It's a dynamic, and there actually is no one-size-fits-all answer to how to proceed, because every situation is different.
Of course it is, yeah. I suppose that we'll come back to that in a moment. It's written for women. Are the majority of adulterers men?
I think that women tend to be more monogamous than men. There's no question that men have to deal with unfaithful wives, and there's certainly elements of this book that would be applicable to anybody. It really doesn't matter whether you're male, female, gay, straight, whatever you are. If you are set aside for somebody else, if the love of your life sets you aside for somebody else, it's a horrible thing to go through. And you have to work out a way to get through it.
How did you find out?
By a text. Very boring. And you end up feeling like you're in some kind of cliche.
But did he send it, or did somebody else send it?
Somebody else sent it.
Okay, right,
and
okay.
It was a very, really not a very unusual thing. And the fact is that adultery is so common. It isn't something that is unusual. It's just horrible to have to go through it.
You compare it to the grieving process. And
absolutely.
You sort of cite the five stages of grieving. Denial, how does it go after that? Is the first one. Aggression, then pleading with the person, depression, and then acceptance.
And acceptance. Yeah. But it is like, it certainly is a bereavement. It's a bereavement of the relationship as you knew it. It can continue. Some people actually have better relationships afterwards because it cleans the air in a funny kind of way, and they end up having very frank discussions with their partner. And the partner, if they want to stay in the marriage, has an incentive to really try harder and make things better. But if the man wants to continue seeing the other woman, then it's a little bit different. Even though many people do stay in those relationships, usually public figures, for instance, often the wives will stay through and be firm and stay with the man, even though the man is a philanderer. But whether they're happy with it, whether they're deep down happy in themselves, that's another story.
I suppose you say every situation is different, but I suppose the initial reaction is quite universal. It must be anger, sadness, frustration, you know, all of these things. And I suppose an immediate reaction will be to lash out at, you know, your unfaithful husband.
Some people feel more vengeful than others, but one of the mantras of Adulterer's Wife, the book I wrote, is that revenge is not sweet. And really, the best revenge you can possibly have is to get past the need for it. Find a way. You have now had, in effect, as they say in America, a kick in the pants to decide how you want to live the rest of your life. What do you want to do? Life is short. What do you want to do? How do you want to feel fulfilled? And you have been shown that your husband is not your key to 100% fulfillment. Mm. You have to find that yourself.
And, you know, like, again, everything's different, but do most people blame the husband or the other woman?
A lot of people tend to blame the other woman. It was interesting that I was doing an interview on Woman's Hour, and one of the people that wrote in on email was talking about how she'd managed to reconcile with her husband. Her husband no longer was seeing the other woman, but she still had this incredible hatred for the other woman, for the mistress that he had had. And, you know, If you can feel enough in yourself to forgive the husband, why could you not also forgive the other woman? One big difference is she hasn't signed a marriage contract with you. She hasn't made a vow of fidelity. He has. And often, for whatever reason, people, because they want to still love their husband and still think that he's actually a good chap, they like to think, well, it's all the other woman's fault. There was this hapless guy who was picked up and, you know, he just couldn't help himself. It's all her fault. Not true. It's both of them.
Maybe some people might find some of the stuff in the book unsettling. You do sort of say you should humanise the other woman and that she may be
absolutely
the victim and not the villain. And you go through all the reasons she may have be the victim. He could have initiated the affair. Think about it. All she gains is temporary sexual pleasure and it's on his schedule. She can't rely on him for financial support. She cannot get emotional support from him whenever she needs it. He'll never want to have kids with her. He never intends to leave his wife. You know, so she gets a bum deal, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's... And what's very interesting is the hypocrisy around this. I know people who have had lots of affairs themselves who have been extremely judgmental when somebody that they like is cheated upon. And yet they've really done the same thing themselves. It really seems to be, I think the bottom line is, if you or a good friend of yours or your relatives that you love are cheating, then it's okay. There's obviously a reason for it. You know, maybe the woman was a cow that they were married to. But if you are the cheated upon person or you have a good friend who's cheated upon, then the man is a demon. So it really is, yeah. Is just,
but of course,
and that's rubbish, really.
There's a myriad of reasons why men may stray, and that sounds too euphemistic there, you know, why they cheat. But again, this would make for uncomfortable reading for some people. This page 22. Now, for a reason that you will find politically incorrect, but I will not sugarcoat, I will put it in the third rather than the second person so that you will not think I am talking about you. The wife may have become too fat, nagging, or otherwise unattractive, at least in her husband's eyes. For example, what he considers to be nagging or meddling in his business might be what you are doing to try to avoid his asshole behaviour affecting the family livelihood. Also, maybe the husband has become fat and ugly too, but he still might be able to attract a woman on the side, especially if he has wealth and status.
Absolutely.
So you're, you know, if you're in this situation, a horrific situation to be in, you might be forced to take a look at yourself.
Absolutely, because you have to find out what makes you feel attractive. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go out and put on scads of makeup and buy expensive clothing. But you want to feel attractive externally and internally, because that will not only make things easier in terms of interacting with other men, whether you want to see somebody else instead, whether you want to stay with your husband. But I'm not talking about that as the most important thing. The most important thing is that that does wonders for your self-esteem. And it's very easy to let yourself go when you're in a long-term relationship and when all you're doing is sort of drudgery, really looking after the family interests. You have to think, well, what makes me feel happy? What makes me feel, what is my passion? And you find that when you're doing things like that and interacting with people with similar interests, building new connections, I'm not necessarily saying you should have an affair or anything
like
that.
I know, but listen to this, for example. This came in from one of our listeners, so I don't even have to get into a sort of a makey-up world. This is the real world for one of our listeners. I'm one of many women to be cheated on and would love to know how to move on. I was cheated on twice by my husband, only finding out by accident. We have three young children, so I have them with me. My time and money goes on the children. I close my house door at six every evening as I can't get out to do things for myself, not even a walk or a run, as family away, so it's just kids and me. One day my kids will grow up and I'll get to do things for myself again. I was never given a reason for why our marriage fell apart. That hurts. And of course, in some cases, the woman is left minding the children. She's the one who has to get up in the morning, make the lunches, make the breakfast, get into school. By the time she's the house cleaned, it's back out to do the collect school run. There's probably somebody off at half 12, somebody off at 2. Then there might be gymnastics or GAA or whatever. Then to make the dinner and the husband's home. And suddenly it's half 7 and you're wrecked tired and all you want to do is go to bed. The last thing on your mind is sex.
Right. And you're talking about a very common story. There is almost like a checklist of how much control you have to really change your life. And each thing that you have to do obviously reduces that control. If you have young children in the house, you have to take their interests into account as well as yours. Obviously, if you have financial issues, you can't just go off and learn, oh, I've always wanted to learn how to fly an aeroplane. You can't afford that.
No.
You don't have a lot of money.
Yes.
And then maybe you're caring for elderly parents. All of these things will reduce your choices. Or if you're dealing with illness, if, say, you are disabled, what are you going to do? It's not an easy situation to say, well, he's been unfaithful, got to leave, can't stand it, I'm going to go and live on my own. No, you can't do that. You have to work out a way that you are able to live with the situation as it is. But one thing I will say, one important thing, however trapped you are in that kind of situation, the more you are thinking about the negativity, the more you are churning, well, he did this, he did that, and he's such a this, and he's such a cad, and I'm so put upon. And the more you think that way, the worse it is for you. And if you are at home, maybe there are things you can do on the internet, for instance. You can even do internet courses. You can learn languages. Mm. You can be social networking with other people so that you have some kind of community. So you aren't completely alone these days, even if you're stuck at home looking after the kids and doing all the, you know, that's the problem with women. They look after the kids, they do all the housework, and they may be holding down a job at the same time.
Well, some men, a lot of men help out in the modern day, in modern age. 51551, we're talking to CJ Grace about her book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. Women shag around just as much as men, says Ed. They're just better at hiding it. And some men...
I don't agree.
Oh, there you go. Some men and women sometimes cheat on their partners. The general daily Let's Kick a Man spot on Irish and Western media shows is really becoming tiring. I think you can say without fear of contradiction that more men are unfaithful than women. Is that, like, I don't know if it's been scientifically proven.
I think it's actually something that is to do with evolution, because men... males are primed to go out and spread their seed. They don't have to deal with birthing a baby and looking after it. Females have a baby that's grown, and it's a you know, 15-20 year commitment. So,
oh, well, it is for the dad as well. Now, come on,
I'm
CJ.
Talking about evolution.
Yes,
I'm talking about our evolution from the chimps or whatever can say.
It's a leftover from that, but things are changing.
It's a leftover from that, but it's still so much in people's psyche, even if they aren't consciously aware of it.
Okay.
You know, men go for an attractive looking woman. Women go for men who are possibly good providers. Even though we are, you know, in a more feminist age, that's still there.
It was interesting.
Got over it.
It was interesting in your book, which sort of confirms what you're saying. A study in University of Texas in 2013, the three most common regrets about sex for men all pertain to missed opportunities. for having sex, being too shy to proposition a potential partner, not being sexually adventurous when young, and not being sexually adventurous when single. In contrast, the three main regrets that women reported were all engaging in sexual activity when they wished they hadn't. Losing their virginity to the wrong person, cheating on a present or past partner, and moving too fast sexually. So that's, you know, men are from whatever and women are from somewhere else.
That was 2013, so yes, that's pretty recent.
I'd like to ask, what about a man who suffers from sex addiction and not possible to leave because it would be too dangerous? Lily wants to know.
Is sex addiction
something you encountered?
Addiction?
That's
a question. In some cases, it's a clinical situation. In other cases, it is just a question of semantics, because a man that wants to have sex with attractive women and who is in a position where he has access to those women is maybe going to take advantage of it. And is he addicted to sex, or is he just taking advantage of opportunity? It's a problem these days because of sexually transmitted diseases, because it also will damage a relationship. If you're in a long-term relationship with somebody, it will after a while damage that relationship.
I think that person needs to seek help just on her own first. She needs to seek some professional help.
And
how about this one?
And what if the man isn't, does he think he has sexual addiction, or does he not?
This is another one for you. After 33 years of marriage, my husband left our family home. This time it was to be for good. He had several affairs, I later discovered. He wished to come home and start again. I always believed it would work. When he told me he couldn't stand me, he left for the last time. Very tough all round. 9 years later, I'd forgotten about him.
I like that last line. Yeah. 9 years later, I'd forgotten about him. Mm. And the passage of time is a great healer, but you have to make an effort to get out of that hole. You have to make an effort to make new friends, to reconnect with old friends. For instance, a lot of women I know who have gone through this, they find that they've let go of all their friends, especially male friends, because it's almost felt like they've been unfaithful by having male friends.
That's what I get from the book, CJ, that is nearly, even for people who are their partners aren't being unfaithful, that they need to sort of future-proof the relationship. And that's like you say about knowing the finances of the family, keeping a circle of friends, having your own hobbies, etc. The final word goes to Tom. The stupidest statement of the week: husbands are maybe invited to wander because the wife isn't taking care of herself. My wonderful wife hasn't as much time as she should to care for herself as I think she should, but she's taking care of our three beautiful kids and I adore her all the more for it, rather than taking it as a license to wander, says Tom. Sounds like a good man and a keeper.
Oh, he's a keeper.
Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not is a book by CJ Grace. CJ, thanks for talking to us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.